shall honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
The fourth commandment.
Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
What does this mean?
We should fear ever God, that we may not despise or anger our parents or masters, but give them honor, serve, obey, and hold them in love and esteem.
The
Now, if you had been at the St. Louis Mills the last 3 days, you would have heard this song about 300 times. St. Louis Mills? What are we talking about? We're going to do something we rarely do here on Law and Gospel, here on AM 850 KFUO. We are not going to be talking about what we said we were going to be talking about, which is really unusual because Mondays is almost always the occasion when we talk about the readings for the following week. But in light of the fact there's Christmas, I'm not sure too many pastors are going to be working on Monday in regard to next Sunday, and that's the readings we're going to take a look at. So we're postponing today's readings and also the hymn for the day till tomorrow. We're going to do that on Tuesday. Why are we postponing that? Because on behalf of AM 850 KFUO and Concordia Mission Society, we were at the St. Louis Mills right near the food court in the center aisle for 3 days, beginning like 8 in the morning till 11 at night, except for Sunday when I had to leave early because of a Christmas event that I had to be at. And we met a lot of you folks out there. We appreciated you going by, saying, boy, I listen to your program. And what I'm going to do right now, because of the many conversations, you know, one of the things we often do is we kind of talk about what our listeners say to us through emails, through letters, through phone calls. Well, we're going to discuss the kind of witnessing that went on at the St. Louis Mills in North St. Louis, one of the largest, very, very large shopping center. In fact, if you went around, it's one big circle, although I think it's kind of like a rectangle, and there's many, many stores. Just walking around it takes over a half an hour, and that's without stopping at any store or kiosk. Kiosk? What's kiosk? Well, that's the center things. There were about 20 to 30 of us who were affiliated with the a family Christian group. They had phoned me up, emailed me about 2 months ago and said, would you be wanting to have a booth at the St. Louis Mills for 3 days? So we thought about it and we decided to do so. Now, I'll tell you. One thing I'm going to say right up front, I give a lot of credit to salespeople. 3 days, I can handle. 4, I'm not sure. And I'll tell you, you're just sitting there. I had two people on either side of me who were in professional booths, and the one was selling cosmetics, the other one was selling shirts. And you'll sit there, even though a lot of people are going by, you'll sit there for 2-3 hours before you get a sale. Now, we did, I think, very well, and we did so because each day we improved. Well, we found out we had about 12 products out there, including some of the materials you hear on Law and Gospel all the time and other programs here on AM 850 KFUO, like Peter Kurowski's book, as well as other things. And one of the CDs you just heard, The Ten Commandments for Little Ears, we probably sold more of that CD than any other CD because we had it playing. We had a little Bose speaker out there, a little system. And as people would go by, they would ask to hear certain things. I always played the Fourth Commandment because that's got the best beat, in my opinion, of the Ten Commandments. All ten are a little different. And what an opportunity we would have to talk to people. Now, I'm going to share with you some of the witnessing that went on and some of the questions that people are asking. Now, why would you be interested in this? Because these are your people. If you're working in an office, these are the kinds of people that are working there, or on an assembly line, or if you're a homemaker and you kind of go out somewhere. And, you know, I'll tell you, one thing I learned, it's always good to have some kind of technique to break open a conversation. Now, for me, it was pretty simple because by the second day, I realized that as people went by, they had no idea what we were. One person, after talking to them, they said, well, are you part of the occult? Because we had religious books, and of course, if you've seen the covers of our books, we have a artist in Europe who does the cover for the books we publish. These are really quite fantastic. The Crossing of the Red Sea is Peter Kowalski's next book, The Everlasting Angel and the Magic, and that's coming out, The Real Magic. In fact, they're publishing it right now. We'll have it in January. And The Cure for Racism. And these covers are really quite spectacular. In fact, we had some blow-ups of them so people could see them, and they would stop and ask about it. But I realized after about halfway through the first day that a lot of people go to the shopping centers because they have a thing on their mind they need to buy. And, of course, when they go by our booth, and I'll tell you this, of all the booths, of all the shops except for the bookstore, we were the only ones selling religious books. So I thought we needed to make that a little bit more clear. So I went to Office Depot on one of the breaks when some of the people who were helping me came along, and I bought little, well, they're things that stand up in the air and you put a piece of paper in them. They're signposts. And I had one behind each of our products saying what it was. Like, this is a book about Abraham and Sarah going to the promised land with the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus. So it was all explained, and I didn't have to do much talking because they then could read, and if they were interested, they would do so. The first thing I have to say, I just have to thank the people who helped out. Peter Kowalski even showed up, one of our authors, and he stayed around for a bit, and I'll tell you the conversation we got into. The other author, oh, besides myself who was there, of course, was Larry Bergdorf. He's written a great book on animals. It's poetry and talks about the creation of animals, and it's really quite humorous, too, as he puts together this book. It will be up on the website hopefully by the end of this week, so that you can purchase that there. And he was there. In fact, one of the individuals, just as he showed up, was getting his book. And so she had the opportunity of having it signed. And then we had some of you folks who had indicated you were able to come out, and we certainly appreciated that. On Saturday, we had Diane Young, and we had a wonderful time with her. She helped out quite a bit. Was there a number of hours, and so we really appreciate Diane coming out. We also had Linda Proven. She was able to come out. She was out on Saturday. Norman Francis had promised to come out, but told me his daughter was ill and he was only going to be able to come out for an hour. I told him not to come out at all. If you have a ill daughter, it's time for you to stay at home. And I did miss Norman because I wanted to talk to him about some theology, and we were going to have a great conversation. But, you know, family's number one, and appreciate the desire to come, but for some reason, God wanted you to be at home with your daughter as she had a cold. Then on Sunday, Anna Sable came out with her mother, and what a great time we had with them. In fact, I was able to take breaks when people would come around, and I would go around, and here's what I did, and I'd come back, and some of these folks were talking to others about what materials we had there, and it was very interesting to witness when this occurred. My wife Louise was also there, although she said she didn't want to stay around too much, you know, because people would come up and start asking her questions. Oh, the pastor's not here right now. What we discovered, and I was glad I took a course on marketing. I'm still in the first parts of that course. But marketing religion. You really can't market religion in the sense of selling people on Jesus Christ. Have you ever tried to do that? You really can't convince an unbeliever or even your dear friend who may not believe in Jesus Christ to believe in him by arguing with them. And I'm a pretty good arguer. I rarely lose any arguments because I can think on my feet, so to speak, and I'm pretty logical. But that doesn't mean I win the war. People may get frustrated with me. I had one lady, for example, she came up and she was an individual. In fact, I have to write this down. I always have a mind blank. She was, I always think of charismatic, but she was Pentecostal. And we were talking about infant baptism. And I said, well, one difference we have between us is we baptize infants, and I'm sure you don't. No, we don't. We wait until their age of accountability. And it is fascinating talking to people. And this is in the middle of the mall. We're having this conversation. People walking on both sides of us, looking at the materials, listening to the music. And I discovered quite a bit here, and I'd like to share with you what she taught me. Is when I indicated that we believe that infants should be baptized, and I use the analogy of adoption. She says, oh, we believe in adoption also, so that when you're old enough, you can make that decision. So I kind of stopped her and I said, well, how does an adult make a decision to be adopted by anybody? Isn't adoption something that happens to children? And she thought for a moment. She says, yes, but we believe you need to make that choice. A child can't make that choice. And I said, that's exactly the point. And that's why we believe Jesus used the word adoption there. And he used the word adoption because he wanted to make the point that we don't choose him. He chooses us when we're unaware of it. I'm sure John the Baptist in the womb, before he leaped for joy because of his faith in Jesus Christ, was quite unaware of the fact that he was receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when he received that gift of the Holy Spirit, my, was that ever wonderful, leaping in the womb for joy because Jesus had just come into the room. When that kind of thing happens, there would be joy in heaven among all the angels as to one who repented. And we don't ask the question, well, how can a little baby repent or how can he believe? We just know that happens because God says, you know, we are to come unto him like little children who believe in him. So if God's got the power to create faith in an adult who has all kinds of excuses not to believe in Jesus Christ, well, then creating faith in a baby would be nothing. Now, it's interesting what this lady said to me. She looked at me and she said, well, I have to say to you that you're putting God in a box. You have him in your little box and you're not letting him get out. And I reply back to her, well, who's got God in a box? You say he cannot save a little child. We say he does save a little child because he promises to do so. So who's got God in a box? We believe he's open, he's big enough, he's almighty enough, he's merciful enough, he's gracious enough, even to save a little child. And you got him in a box where he can't do that. Because a child is unable to respond according to your theology. So that God needs your permission to save you. And I can't find that anywhere in the Bible, I told her. Well, something interesting happened there, and I'm not going to be giving out names of the people we talked to because of something like this. Tears came to her eyes, and I was a little perplexed at that. Have you ever been talking to somebody, and you're talking about your theology? Hopefully it's good biblical Lutheran theology, and you're making a point, and all of a sudden somebody either gets really emotional, or they get real mad, or angry at you, or tears come to their eyes? And see, this just didn't sync with me. So I pursued the questioning a little bit, and then I found out what the problem was. She believed that because we believe that infants need to be baptized, that therefore we teach that all babies who die apart from baptism go straight to hell. Now, I can understand why somebody then doesn't want to believe in infant baptism. Now, I could say things like, well, you know, when we get to heaven, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people there that we didn't know were going to be there. And there are going to be people missing that we thought for sure we would see. Are you going to be angry at God over that? Are you going to question him? Of course not. You're in heaven. You have a perfect mind. Therefore, anything that God has decided is fine with you. Now, I don't understand how we're going to have that, especially if it's a child or a spouse or a relative or somebody close to us who died and went to hell. I don't know how we're going to be in full bliss in heaven knowing that, but God says we are. So it's a real mystery, and I can't explain it, but I can tell you what God's promise is. All you do is go to the book of Revelation. There's no crying. There's no sickness. There's no death. So we're in bliss because we understand the mind of God. Well, I then told her, you know, what we say as Lutherans is we say what the Bible says. And the Bible says that through baptism, God brings little children into his family of God. He adopts them. And so that's a promise to us, and that's why we baptize children. But now I want to underscore the fact that this is the way that God has told us how we are enabled to bring little children into the kingdom of God. By bringing them to the waters of baptism and having Jesus say over them through the pastor or whoever, even a layperson, I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're now a member of the family. Now, does God have other ways of bringing people to faith? We know he does. First of all, there was not Pentecost baptism prior to the Pentecost. And we know that little males were circumcised. And we know that children in the Old Testament... Remember David's son who died because of his sin with Bathsheba? He said, he will not come to me, but I will go to him. So there's no doubt a point there that we were making to show that we're not concerned about what God may or may not do, and we're not concerned about Judgment Day. For we will be in bliss. Can you imagine having that kind of a conversation in front of the mills? Now, there's one individual I didn't mention who was there. In fact, he didn't come alone. His whole family came. And that was Roland Lettner. And they were a tremendous... Not Roland wasn't, but the family was a tremendous help in making popcorn. That's right. We made popcorn and gave out free popcorn. I made a mistake. The first 2 days, it was free popcorn if you get any purchase. And there were a number of times that people would go by and say, can we buy that popcorn? And I said, no, you need to make a purchase. But a lot of times there were a little kid asking, so I would just give them a popcorn. And it suddenly hit me, well, this is getting ridiculous because a lot of people are asking. So on the third day I was there, Sunday, we free popcorn with purchase or 25 cents a bag. And we sold a number of bags of popcorn. So that was another way of making money for Concordia Mission Society, AM850 KFUO. And it was kind of interesting that when they would pick up the popcorn, we would say, would you like salt or unsalted? And we could get into a number of conversations with them about, and by the way, we sell materials for children, and we get a starter. I'll tell you, I'm going to get back to the Lettners in a moment, but the best way to reach out is to have something you give someone. And I just so happen to have pens. We bought hundreds of them, and frankly, they're very good pens. We've given one to the, in fact, I'm not sure, did I give you one, Dave? Oh, well, here you are. Now, see, I just gave to my board man a pen. He wasn't here when we first came out with him about a month ago.
Nice pen.
It's a very nice pen. It's got Concordia Mission Society on it. It has our website and has our phone number. And the other thing I did, I put a sign on me. I normally don't like wearing name tags. And I did have a name tag, one that just said, like, Tom Baker on it. But I put on Tom Baker. It had AM850KFUO. It had our website. It said Concordia Mission Society. And I also have this. It was a badge you hung over your neck. The trouble is every time I would lean over or something, it would flip around, and then the back was empty. So on Saturday, I think it was, when I went back home at 11 o'clock, I made the same sign on the back, so it didn't matter which way it flipped. But I would go down the hall when our friends would come in, and strike up conversation with people at different booths. That's where I was doing most of it, especially those that were affiliated with our group. And I would take like 8 pens with me, and by the time I never once went all the way around. It was just too far. I ended up going all the way around, but that was on different trips. And I'd come back maybe with 1 or no pens. Because I start talking to somebody. I found somebody, it was at a store where, oh, and Dave, you'll be interested in this. The mopeds are being sold, these are $1,600 mopeds, for $900. You just got one, didn't you?
Yeah, about 4 months ago.
And you get how many miles to the gallon? Because these had about 90 miles to the gallon.
Right, about 90 to 95 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, and no license necessary or anything?
If it's under 50 cc's, you don't have to have a motorcycle license, no special insurance, no special registration. You don't have to pay taxes
on it. I know. And you like riding it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A little cold today, but it's a lot of fun.
Did you do it today?
No.
I was going to say, yes.
Well, there are those who would question my sanity as it is, but not on today. They would definitely prove that I was insane if I rode it today. So.
Well, I'm not kidding. I went and I talked to this gentleman, and I said I was a pastor, and I was at St. James. He lived at the end of the block across from one of my members for 13 years before I got there, and he wanted to know how she was doing. In fact, Ella Miller, if you're listening, your neighbor across the street from you, I met, and we had a great conversation about Lutheranism, and I gave him one of my pens, and he introduced me to one of his friends who came over, and I gave him a pen, too, and they're both supposedly listening to AM850 KFUO. We're going to be right back.
Culture awash in sexual immorality, what is God's truth about sexual morality? That's the question we put to Pastor Chuck Spomer recently on the Bible study.
The advice that I have is to simply, first of all, pray for your children. Secondly, tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. The truth, of course, is that God restricts sexual experience to husband and wife, one man, one woman, and that God's ideal for that is to be monogamous, that he intends for that sexuality to play itself out in terms of the marriage so that family can result. Anybody who knows about sexual experience, who studies it, understands that it is perhaps the most intimate activity that a human being can engage in. It also is the most devastating when it is not understood or used properly or correctly. We are sexual beings from the time that we are conceived, and it is a large part of our makeup. And to pervert our sexuality simply means that we're going to pervert ourselves.
You'll find archives of Bible study programs at kfuo.org.
This is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Parents can set their kids up for financial and relational disaster without even knowing it. Here's my colleague, Dr. James Dobson, with an explanation.
Boy, I've seen situations where a parent rocks a child in a cradle of luxury one way or another, even if it doesn't represent diamond rings and brand new cars, still a lifestyle that will not be possible in early marriage. And then that come down is very, very painful and very difficult. And you are almost enticing them to go out and get themselves into big debt just to maintain what they had before.
Indulging our kids isn't showing love. Teaching them to be responsible is. And being disciplined with our finances means our kids will have a better chance of managing their own. For help instilling sound financial principles in your children, check out our website at focusonthefamily.com. For Focus on the Family, I'm Dr. Bill Meyer.
I'm Diane.
I'm Roland.
On the next afternoon show, 3 to 5:30 on Monday on AM 850 KFUO.
Counting down to Christmas.
Yes, we
hey,
are.
Hey, let's do another Christmas book.
Okay.
Away in the Major. Peggy Keaty from CPH will talk to us about another great little story about Christmas.
And Dr. George Naeem talks about his work with Muslims. He works with the Rocky Mountain District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. That's on Monday's afternoon show.
You've got 2 days left to buy me something. Get out there. Do it.
Okay.
Have you ever attended a Bible study where you really wanted to ask a question, but you were too embarrassed or self-conscious to speak? Are there answers you'd like to have, but you're not quite comfortable speaking with your pastor? That's why we have the weekday Ask the Pastor Bible Study. If you like, you can email your questions to me in advance at crathert@kfuo.org. It's an open phone program every Monday through Friday at 11.05 a.m. here on AM 850 KFUO.
AM 850 KFUO has continued serving the public for 8 decades, supplementing the outreach and missions of local congregations. And your church can become an AM 850 KFUO Church of the Week. Consider how easy it can be. First, call KFUO. Then the presiding members of your church pick a week. After the time is decided, we'll air several daily announcements all week long featuring your congregation as the AM 850 KFUO Church of the Week.
Did you know that you have the opportunity to share Christ's mercy with people in need worldwide? The LCMS World Relief and Human Care Wittenberg Project is a good example. With your help, you can envision the old school building next to St. Mary's Church in Wittenberg, Germany, as a strong witness of confessional Lutheranism to the world. Once the structure is refurbished, it will include a welcome center, a Luther Theological Study Center, and the headquarters for a vibrant gospel outreach mission. Learn more at LCMS World Relief and Human Care.
Tom Baker back here, and those of you who are looking forward to hearing about the readings for this coming Sunday, I just had such a wonderful time sponsoring AM 850 KFUO as well as Concordia Mission Society at the St. Louis Mills this weekend. Appreciate those of you who stopped by to talk to us. And I had asked KFUO, do you have a sign or something? And so I did get a sign from Joni, and it wasn't until I put it up that I read it, because it was all rolled up. And it said, you know, AM 850 KFUO, a Bible study, Chuck Rathert. His name was on it. And I can't tell you, people would come by and say, are you Chuck Rathert? And I would always ask them, well, do you like the show? And if they said yes, I said, yeah, I'm Chuck Rathert. If they said no, I told them I was Roland Lettner. No, that's not true, that last part. But anyway, I couldn't believe how many people would stop just seeing that AM 850 KFUO. Now, some of them, KFUO, they listen to the classical side. And I had to explain it was an AM and an FM and this sort of thing. But no, I had my sign on myself, Tom Baker, Law Gospel. And one, I think it was, yes, when Peter Krausky was there and Diane Young, they were helping me out. And a lady stopped by, and she said, oh, I listen to your program every day. And we thought she was kidding. And so we started telling her about some of the products. Not only did she buy $40 worth of products, but she started talking about what she had heard on the program. And all three of us were really quite astonished, because we had no idea who she was. And here she was buying products as well as listening every day to AM 850 KFUO. So our reach is kind of out there. I mean, if in the St. Louis Mills I had all these people going by that I've never heard of or talked to and indicating that they liked the radio station, they were listening. I found nobody who did not like what they heard. I guess they wouldn't stop and talk to us. But I promised to get back to Roland Lettner. Because Roland brought his whole family, his wife, his two kids, who were just very helpful. This was the day that we were setting up the signs, because we didn't have signs for each book explaining what they were. And his wife, you know, helped put in the new sheets I had made up for them, and the kids were doing the popcorn. And Roland Lettner got in a, I think it was about a half hour conversation with an atheist. At least the individual said he was an atheist. He may want to share some of that with you on the afternoon show. So tune in to him and Diane. If they don't have scheduled guests, they'll usually talk about things like this they're witnessing. And I'll let him tell you the conversation, because I was very, very busy trying to show the kids how to do the popcorn properly. Oh, as well as talking to some other people. But it was really a great weekend to be there. And we had a number of opportunities to share the message of the Holy Scriptures with others. And I want to share again, I've already done some with you, but I've got a few more then I want to take a look at. This was the very first person that came to me. Now, St. Louis Mills is in North St. Louis area, and I would say almost a third, if not in the evening, a half of the people were black and Asian, Chinese I've spoke with, and of course other half were white. But this the very first person, this was early Friday morning, was a young black man. He saw the material, I told him what we were, and here was his exact question. What I did is, as people left, I would try and write down what they had said. He says, he said, I have a friend, and what do you say to him who feels that he is very far from God? These are the kinds of questions we would get. And this is before I put the sign up, all theological questions answered for free. Somebody says I was like Linus, I guess, in that cartoon. But anyway, I looked at the gentleman and I said, I kind of assumed he was the one he was talking about. And I said, I asked him, do you know what religion this individual used to be? And sure enough, he was, I won't say what denomination, but it was a denomination that, from my point of view, I also would recognize some legalism in there. And so I said to him, well, you know, I think I might even have left that denomination also and felt that I was falling away from God because of the teaching there. It was really quite amazing how few people knew this statement from the Scripture, that your works simply make no difference to God as to whether you go to heaven or hell. See, that's what the Reformation was all about. That's why we're saved by faith alone, not faith plus works. That your works really make no difference in God's mind in deciding whether you go to heaven or hell. Because the problem with works is sin. And everybody's sin was forgiven at the cross of Christ. Remember, it doesn't say for God so loved the Lutherans, or even for God so loved the Christian. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So what Jesus did at the cross, He reconciled God to the world. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There isn't a person in the world who hasn't got God reconciled to him. What does that mean? When aren't you reconciled to somebody? When are you not reconciled to somebody? When you're holding something against them. Maybe they did something. Maybe they owe you something. Well, we need to understand that when we talk about the forgiveness of sins, I'm quite convinced, especially after this weekend, that even most Christians still haven't grasped what the forgiveness of sins is. What it is, and this is about as easy as I can put it, when God forgives your sins, He reveals two things. Number one, you are a corrupt sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That's the first thing. That's the law statement. Now, the gospel statement is, all those sins you've done, you're no longer held accountable by God. Do you understand what that means? You're no longer held accountable. It means you're not ever going to pay for your sins. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the slate is wiped clean. Now, if you would prefer to pay for them, you have that right. That's called unbelief. the new paradigm in town now is not good works versus sinful works, because all works are sinful, because we're sinful human beings. We can't do a perfectly sinless good work. It's impossible, even with all the help of the Holy Spirit. Because our old Adam always has the bad motivation. Our new man always has the good motivation. So I'm not saying you don't do fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's just it's never perfect. It's partially sinful insofar as your old man is involved. Now, this was new to a lot of people we were talking to. And you know the words I love to hear. I've never heard that before. Surprisingly, we ran into some people who had heard it, and they weren't Lutheran, and believed it, which was kind of interesting. Then I had to show and point out that their particular denomination didn't agree with what they were now believing, which was always an interesting conversation. But at this point, this young man was asking me, what do you do? And I suggested to him, if these were the kinds of things he was hearing, and the reason I think he was really talking about himself is that he came back again and again. He said, yeah, that's right. That's what he was hearing. And how would he know that unless he was attending or sitting beside his friend? But at any rate, I said, well, you see, here's what the Bible really teaches. And it's not that God has left you. I mentioned his name. I said, God will never leave you. But you can leave him. If your friend feels that he's far from God, it isn't because God has moved. It's because your friend has moved away from an understanding of God that I personally believe isn't even biblical, from what you suggested to me and described to me. So he really thanked me. He picked up, we always have free materials we handed out, the AM 850 KFUO schedule, all the material that we have on our website right now. Plus, we have some half sheets of some of the books, and we handed them out for free. For instance, Larry Burdorf's book entitled It's a Jungle Out There, where he goes through the various animals and does poetry. We have a little half sheet which talks about the book on the front, and on the back actually gives one of the poems written partially about the blue whale. And people could therefore read them. So this individual thanked me very much, went away, gave him a pen, and I gave him a popcorn. And we were ready for the next folks. The next lady, though she wasn't Lutheran, had been a missionary to Africa. So we began talking about our mission work in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, and how also on AM 850 KFUO, people do phone us or email us, I should say email, from overseas. Australia, I've mentioned, Germany, Asia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan. That was really interesting. And so we had a good conversation with her. Another lady, and I'm not going to go through all the folks who stayed. Sometimes there were a number one after the another that I didn't write down. You know, I tried to write down as much as I could. But this one I want to talk about next was very interesting. She was a lady, and I said, what religion are you? Denomination. She said, I'm Catholic. And I said, well, so am I. And she said, I thought you said you were Lutheran. I said, no, I'm a Lutheran Catholic. She said, is there such a thing? She was unaware of the fact that the word Catholic just means the universal world religion from God's point of view. So I believe any Christian is a Catholic. If you're a Catholic following the Pope, you're a Catholic of Rome, therefore you're Roman Catholic. If you're a Catholic following the summaries that Martin Luther said were in the Bible, then you're a Lutheran Catholic. Or you're a Southern Baptist Catholic, or a Presbyterian, Methodist, etc. Now, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, these are not Catholics, because their religion is false according to the Bible. I mean, false to the point where they have left the Christian faith. Just go talk to a Mormon and ask him if he's saved, and he'll tell you all the ceremonial laws he's doing. Well, anyway, we started talking to this lady once she understood what Catholic meant, and she ended up buying the Ten Commandments for little ears. And we played part of Commandment 4 for you at the beginning of the program. And I explained to her, because it says right on the front, Luther's meanings of the Ten Commandments. But she was real happy with it. And that's one of the things she bought. The next person said that he listens to KSIV quite a bit. And I had once been on that station. And there's certain programs that we talked about on both stations. I said, well, by the way, yes, when you listen to that one, I'm on this station same time. And we had some very good conversation about the differences between some of the programs on KSIV and AM 850 KFUO. I said that those of our religious programs are strictly Lutheran, and we follow the scriptures. And he was an evangelical, so I was able to talk to him about the fact that 90% of the items we agree with, that we're both believers in the Bible, the Word of God. He agreed with that. We believe Jesus Christ is both God and man, yes. That he died on the cross for the sins of the world, yes. And then I said, and then we're saved by grace through faith apart from works. And he said, yes. And then we got into a conversation about decision theology, because he believed in that. And I was trying to point out to him that if you believe in decision theology, then you really don't believe that you're saved by grace through faith. You're saved by grace through faith plus decision, which is a work that you do. And so we had, again, an interesting debate back and forth. You need to understand that when you're witnessing to someone, you're really not trying to persuade them there in the sense that you think you're successful or not successful. If they don't look at you and say, boy, I never thought of that, and that's what I now believe. That rarely happens to me. It rarely happens on this program. You'll have somebody phone up in disagreement with something. And I have a number of members when I was pastor at St. James Lutheran Church in University City that when they first heard me, they really hated me. Because a Bible teacher who believes in the Bible will be saying things that grates against the common sense thinking of most Christians. And if they're not really aware of the fact that they have an old Adam and a new man, they can get kind of confused. They can really be confused in not realizing what is happening. And so it's a great, a wonderful way of meeting. Now, you won't believe this, but the person beside me who was selling perfume, lotion, etc. for women, he and I got in conversation. He told me some personal things about his life, some problems he's going through, and we tried to, well, when people really weren't stopping at either of our booths, I would say we were busy maybe 40% of the time. So 60% of the time you're just kind of sitting there and people just kind of walking by. And I discovered that you want them to look without you jumping up and pestering them right away. And pretty soon if they're looking long enough or there's a question, then you can stand up. And so I learned some techniques from this gentleman also. But he gave me two sheets of paper. Because I was giving him, I said, have all the popcorn you want. I actually bought a popcorn machine. Yes, and it's one of these that looked like a movie popcorn machine, except it's smaller, it's desktop. But it does just as good a popcorn. And I, when I was up in Litchfield, Illinois, in that area preaching, there's this place where they sell truck tires and all kinds of farm implements. And they have free popcorn. I really like that. So I went back to find out what kind of oil they used and what kind of popcorn. I'm writing all this stuff down. And just before I'm ready to leave, the lady says, oh, and by the way, if you want to buy the oil, it's on the second shelf over there. So I bought a gallon of it, and it's really buttery popcorn, just like in the movies. And so we had salt and unsalted, and I'm popping that away all day long. And he brings me this down. And it's really kind of interesting. It's called the Parable of the Popcorn. The Parable of the Popcorn. Behold, at the time of harvest, the ears of corn did bring forth kernels, which dried and prepared for the popper's hand. And then it was that the pauper did take the kernels, all of which appeared alike unto him, and did apply the oil in the heat. And it came to pass that when the heat was on, some did explode with promise, and did magnify themselves a hundredfold, and some did burst forth with whiteness, which did not both gladden the eye and satisfy the taste of the pauper. And likewise some others did pop, but not too much. But lo, there were some that just lie there. And even though the pauper's heat was alike unto all, they did bask in the warmth of the oil and kept everything they had for themselves. And so it came to pass that those who had given of themselves did bring joy and delight to many munchers, but those that kept of the warmth and did not burst forth were fit only to be cast out into the pail and are thought of with hardness and disgust. And thus we see that in the beginning all appear alike, but when the heat is on, some come forth and give their all, while others fail to pop and become as chaff to be discarded and forgotten. And then the last line is, which are you? Yeah, that was Scott selling stuff for Proactive. He's right over there in the mills, just a little bit. He's there all the way to Christmas. In fact, I think they're there year-round. And they're not at all far from the food court. And so he was handing me these things. He gave me another one I'm going to do in the second hour on the 12 days of Christmas, which I find quite interesting. I think I had something like this about 8 years ago. And Dave remembers the other one from 8 years ago. Maybe he'll remember this one, too, which each day of Christmas, what it stands for. But we'll see. The parable of the popcorn. That's really kind of neat. And it is a kind of a parable because one of the books we were giving out is a Good News publication edited by Wallace Schultz. And a lot of people like that one. In fact, if you bought something, we ended up giving you a free copy of that. And we had it open to one of the pages where they had this exquisite museum piece of art of Jesus dying on the cross. The entire Good News publication is just excellent with a lot of, shall we say, good ways to listen and hear about fundamental teachings of the Christian church. They have over 30 different subjects out. I've given their phone number a number of times here in St. Louis. You can phone them at 645-1919. And if you're out of St. Louis, 1-800-778-1132. 1-800-778-1132. And they supplied some of the books that we use when we go out on seminars, etc., at no cost. Because for a while, my wife and I would take 30,000-40,000 copies downtown and have them mailed. And so now they've got a little better system because they've grown so much. It's not unusual for 500,000 copies to kind of go out in the year. So you really, for $15, and I think the price is going to be going up, so you want to get to this, $15, you get four issues. And it comes in about a year and 3 months or so. And they're just excellent. So We were talking, you know, to people, showing them the magazine and looking at some of the pictures and helping them to see this. But the parable of the popcorn, that'd be great in the Good News magazine because it's kind of like a parable about the sower who goes out to sow seed. But the reason I mentioned Good News is one of the issues we were handing out was the one on suffering. The one on suffering. And what Wallace Schultz does there is, do you ever suffer? Well, I know I do. And are there times when you feel the suffering is unjust or unfair? Well, this entire issue talks about how suffering should be understood by the Christian as we begin to think the way God thinks. Remember what theology is. Proper theology is simply getting you to think the way the Holy Trinity thinks, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if that's the kind of church you're in, then you're hearing the mind set of the Holy Trinity. And sometimes suffering comes to people, and what do? Well, they use it and break forth with joy. Thank you, Lord. I've heard Christians say that in the midst of suffering. Thank you because it's not worse than it is. Thank you because you haven't left me. Thank you because I know I'm going to be getting better. And thank you, if I don't, I'm going to die and be with you. What do you not have to thank God for? And so We used that a number of times, and people were really quite taken with it, and we're looking forward to the next issue, which is coming out December the 29th. That's what the office told me. I don't know what the topic is, but we're going to pick it up after Christmas, after the New Year's, and we'll be talking about it here on AM 850 KFUO again. So, those of you, by the way, who are phoning up or listening in right now, in order to hear the Bible study for this coming Sunday and the hymn of the day, we're postponing that till tomorrow because I just got excited about what happened at the mills. And I've got some more to say about some of the witnessing and the conversations that went on. Maybe some of the questions you're going to hear in the second hour are similar ones that you've asked or people are asking you. And we'll certainly get back to you about that. Our numbers here, in case you'd like to phone about anything on this, it's 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, for those of you in Europe and overseas, is, of course, lawgospel@kfuo.org. We only got a minute and a half to go, but we're going to try and get Rick on here right now. Hi, Rick. You only got a short time. How can I help you?
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Baker. Sounds like you had a good weekend. The suffering that you were talking about and how people handle that, it goes back to the lady that you talked with out there about the baptism of infants. Because when David's child died, I believe that baby died on the seventh day.
Yes.
And that baby could not be circumcised.
Correct.
Because that would be on the eighth day. But what did David do? You know, in your response, you said that he could go to him. And he got up and cleansed himself and went and worshiped the Lord. So praise be to God.
Yes.
And that anybody through this season that experienced such traumatic sufferings, may they be blessed with the grace and mercy of our Lord to go forth and praise his holy name.
Thank you very much for calling, Rick. We appreciate that excellent insight that David knew by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that though the child would not return to him, he would be going to the child. So people who say there's not a resurrection of the dead in the Old Testament, they just aren't reading the Bible the way Rick reads it, the way Augustine reads it, the way many church fathers reads it. Yes, there's plenty of evidence of the resurrection. And Rick's point again is, yes, you and I are bound to baptism as the only way we know for sure a baby gets saved. God is not bound that way. And when we get to heaven, whatever decision he has made, we will not be out of bliss. It's difficult to understand, but what in Christianity is not difficult to understand? I tell you, I should do this about once every 2-3 months. Just go to some shopping center, set up a little booth, and see how people are thinking, especially during a Christmas season and Easter season. And maybe you can also join us, as some of our volunteers did. When we get back second hour, we'll get to a few more of our conversations. Stay with us through the break.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.